And welcome to What the World Needs Now. This is your host, Ken Johnston. I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. Today is November the 1st. It is All Saints Day. We talked about All Saints Day in the previous hour. Tomorrow is All Souls Day, and we're blessed to be joined today by somebody that has more devotion to the Holy Souls than anybody I've ever met, Susan Tassone. Susan's passionate champion for the Holy Souls in Purgatory and recognized as leading a worldwide purgatory movement. She's written a number of bestsellers, 14 as a matter of fact, and shares her passion for releasing souls through innumerable speaking engagements throughout the country. More than a dozen cardinals and bishops around the world have endorsed her works. She's been on EWTN a number of times, recently had a groundbreaking documentary, Purgatory, The Forgotten Church. She's got a master's degree in religious education from Loyola in Chicago, and met Pope John Paul II not once but twice, and received a special blessing upon her and her ministry for the Holy Souls. Welcome back to the show, Susan. It's great to have you with us.
Ken, it's always to go back where I started with WTMR, with Don Lettieri, so I feel like we're carrying the torch for him. Thanks for having me.
Nah, thanks for being here. I've been doing this show for 7 years, and I think every year right around this, you know, November 1st is when and what we get you on, so I'm blessed to have you. You've had an impact on my life. I'm enrolled over in France at Our Lady of Monteleone.
Oh. Yes,
I'm a member of the Pious Union of St. Joseph.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
So,
you've got the deluxe package.
Yeah, but, you know, until I had met you and read some of the work that you had done, I wasn't, you know, well-versed in the souls in purgatory, and you've done a great job of communicating that, I think, with adults in the past. And this year, you're doing it with children with a new book that you've written for kids.
I've waited. I wanted to do something for children for several years, and it just wasn't the time because other books came, which actually I could tell you they were the Faustina series that were surfaced, and so I had to go with what was handed to me, never knowing if it would happen. So we have now 10 books on purgatory. There's a great movie, Ken, called Purgatory, The Forgotten Church, which is fantastic. You can see that online. There's a great novel by Teresa Linden called Tortured Soul about a mystic who saw the souls. It's just a great story. But there was no book on purgatory for children, none. And I knew it had to be done. I didn't know when. And then, because we have to reach the children. It's part of the, it's part of the mystical, the purgatory is part of the mystical body. It's a doctrine of our faith. The saints confirm this with their revelations, what they experience. The Council of Trent, it's a doctrine that confirms that. So we needed to bring the church's teachings about the souls to the children, and we needed to do it in a very faithful, creative way, Ken, that was inspiring and that emphasized God's love. So really, the book literally takes the fear out of purgatory for children and adults and replaces it with God's merciful love. And it took, even though it was like 12 years wanting to do it, it took 3 years to do it, Ken. And I'm telling you, I've never had such battle resistance, things that have never happened to me in all my 23 years of writing. And, of course, I had several priests telling me, we're trying to reach the children. And you know who doesn't want that to happen. So it was a battle, but we won. And I'm just excited to say that it's the first book ever written on purgatory for children. And we accomplished those things that we wanted for the kids, that it was creative, it was warm, it wasn't scary. It put the smile on children's faces and parents too, and it doesn't frighten them.
No, and it's I got my copy. I have it in front of me now. It'll be going to my grandkids the next time I see them. I wanted to hold on to it for the show. And the book itself, the story is beautiful. The illustrations are out of this world.
Oh, isn't it? Oh,
yeah.
That's a new word. We were hearing breathtaking, splendid, superb, brilliant. And now you've got another one, out of this world. Absolutely true. It was Father Wade from EWTN, Ken, said that God chose this illustrator, and he came from a very Catholic family from Jakarta, Indonesia. How did I ever get across the world? But I was very fortunate. E.W. Chen had pointed me in that direction, and he took the book takes your breath away. You can see, you know, some of it, you know, on, we watched, I did a couple of shows on E.W. Chen. In fact, if you don't mind me sharing this, I'm going to be doing a Zoom with Jeanette Bankovic on Friday. Is it Friday? The third. And we're going to be telling the story. We're going to read the story. But I'm glad you noticed how breathtaking they were. And that's a wonderful word, out of this world, Ken.
Amen. And that's where purgatory is, out of this world, and heaven even further out of this world. But the name of the book is New Friends, Now and Forever, A Story About the Holy Souls. It's published by Most High Publishing, available at EWTN's store. And Susan also has a website. It's SusanTassone.com. It's Susan Tassone, T-A-S-S-O-N-E, .com. And can you order it through your website as well?
Yes, you can. You can have a choice to go to Amazon or to go to EW Chen. I strongly recommend EW Chen because there is a lower price, and you're really supporting the evangelization of our, you know, of our faith. So That's my first choice, and I would definitely do that. I can't stress enough. We need to do that, and they will not be disappointed.
No. Absolutely not. And so you actually have in the very beginning of the book, it starts out for grown-ups, and you give parents that may not know themselves a whole lot about purgatory, a quick synopsis on what purgatory is and the five important truths that the church teaches about purgatory.
Yes. And you know what I'm hearing? Because I've done so many interviews, and it's just been amazing to get the feedback that I'm hearing loud and clear, that the book is also for adults. And it is. Adults can learn. And we had the special grown-up page because the children are going to ask questions about purgatory. And remember, you know, after Vatican II, purgatory kind of fell off the beam, and people weren't even thinking it was a doctrine. And it is a doctrine. It's not a concept. And so what happened was, we lost teaching the doctrine in some seminaries and schools. And so what was the fruit of that? That teachers didn't know how to teach it. Parents didn't understand it. And so we had a total confusion about purgatory. But it's turned. That has turned tremendously. In fact, OSV did a study wanting to know from the readers what was the most important what did they want to know most about in our Catholic faith. Ken, they chose purgatory. Of all the things, they chose purgatory. That answers that. So we have, that's why we did it, to be able, that particular page, to share with them, to help them understand purgatory. And then because there's one of the, I'm sure we're going to have one of the kids say, well, what if the soul's in heaven? Well, there's answers in there, because it's called Accidental Glory by Thomas Aquinas. If a soul's in heaven and you continue to pray for that soul gets two things. It gets an increase in its intercessory power, and it gets an increase in its intimacy with God. So the lesson is, you never stop praying for the dead. And you can look that up in 958 about the intercessory power. So those kinds of questions are going to be surfacing with the kids, and the parents will be equipped with that material to help them.
So the kids in the book are, at least their family, they must be devout Catholics because they sit in the fourth pew on the right every time they go to church.
Everybody has their pew.
Yeah, amen. And God forbid somebody's in it when you get there, right?
Oh my gosh! You know the Italian comes up, or people look at you like, "Why are you sitting there?"
Yeah.
Everybody has ownership, but. But most people know where people sit, and you don't bother them, you know.
Right.
I mean, even if you watch EWTN, you can see certain people, they are in that particular pew, but, you know, you just leave them alone and go find another place to sit and claim it is your own.
Yeah, but the nice part of the story here is those kids get to know Mr. Ray, and they notice when Mr. Ray's not there, and it gives the priest in the parish an opportunity to interact with the family and help them to understand these concepts about purgatory.
To understand purgatory, exactly. Yeah. So what do I want to say? so the most important thing is how do you teach a doctrine like that? How do you teach it? So right before they find, you know, Mr. Ray had gone in the very beginning, they asked Mr. Ray, where's his wife, Gloria? And Gloria had died. And that's where that conversation opens up about, well, where is she? And, you know, when the parents say, maybe she's in purgatory, what's that? And we use children language. It's like holy soap where you get, you know, you get cleaned up, you know, to be able to see God. And so how did we approach all that? You know, we're telling a story, you know, instead of being hardcore catechism and sin and, you know, the best way to teach children about a difficult topic is what Jesus did. He spoke in parables, Ken. He told stories. Okay. So it's a delightful story of Ben and Hope. They're twins. And they become prayer pals with Mr. Ray. He's an elderly friend from the parish, a pew buddy. And they agree to pray for each other and to help him pray for his departed wife. And then along the way, Hope and Ben learn that purgatory is real and that it's nothing to fear because it's a special way of God showing his love for us. So purgatory is not a punishment. It's the masterpiece of his mercy. Purgatory is it gets you prepared to see God. And so in the purpose of it is to plant the seed of reverence for the dead in the children's hearts. And so in due time, they're going to be able to assure us elders of their aid. And if we don't have these examples, the children depart in godlessness, really. And so what's the best part? The best part is that the children learn that the power of their prayers and sacrifices help the departed reach heaven. And that these souls will intercede for them, and they become their forever friends. And so there's a beautiful two-page spread. How do you illustrate it? Well, prayer pals are us, the church militant. We have people from all walks of life, on a two-page spread, breathtaking. And then in the center are the souls, and they're dressed in a purpley-gray outfit to point to penance. And what are we doing? We're praying around the outside. We're the prayer pals. And what are the souls doing? Well, they're doing one and only thing they can do, purgatory, is pray. And who are they praying for? For us. They can't pray for themselves. They intercede, especially for their families. So you've got the church. You've got the church militant. You've got the church suffering. And it's an exchange of prayers. You also have the church triumphant, Ken. You've got a soul coming out. It was the angel lifting the soul out of purgatory. So there's your whole mystical body, and it's absolutely gorgeous. Really, you've seen it.
No, absolutely. And I'm looking forward to sitting down with my grandkids, who are 7 and 6, and seeing their reaction to it.
Those are the ages 6 to 10, and 20, and adults. Because like I said, I get so much feedback that the adults are learning about purgatory as well.
Yeah. One of the other interesting things in it, and I've seen this in some other kids' books, but you've integrated it with the seek and find. So
yes. You know, it's funny, Ken. I've done so many shows and interviews with EWTN. You can catch them, go on YouTube and catch them. That was a last-minute thing. I was, you go to Mass, pray before the Blessed Sacrament, and then I would go down to the gift shop and look at other children's books, because this is the first book I've ever done. And I was just to see what was going on. And I happened to notice this seek and find. And then it wasn't until I came home that I realized there were so many symbols in the book about our faith. There were bells, there were the tabernacle, there was the angels, there was the keys of Peter, there was the three kings blessing over the door. There was the palm behind the crucifix. There were the rosaries. And I it must have been God, because it wasn't planned until I got to the end and I went, we've got these incredible symbols of our faith. They're teaching tools. At the back of the book, we explain the symbols and devotions. And there's also a page, after we explain it, there's a page where the, you know, the parent and the child can go back and find them. So I was really happy. Again, from getting the feedback now, because it's been 3 years, that seems to be one of the most popular pages.
Yes, it was. And I'm looking for it now, and I'm not seeing it. But I think
in
somewhere.
The back.
Yeah,
the
yeah, yeah.
Back.
No, I knew that part. But where I was going was there's also the Did You Know page, and it talks about the various prayers that are out there. And there
yes,
was some place.
How to help the souls, yeah.
Yeah. But there was some place in here where you mentioned, I think it was in here, about the Pious Association of St. Joseph. And
oh, yeah, the Pious Union and Our Lady of Mont Lejeune and I think it's Our Lady of Angels. That's in back to the letter. That's in the grown-up page where I
right.
say, you know, how you want to, how are you, who are you going to be remembered when you die? By who's going to pray for you? And these organizations, Our Lady of Mont Lejeune in France and the Holy Angels, particularly the Holy Angels, I just came across this incredible organization that where you turn in your family tree. So it would be you, Ken, your wife. It would be your brothers and sisters, Ken, your wife's brothers and sisters. It would be your children and then your grandchildren. And you know, and it was $50 to have this whole tree being prayed for during life and after death. So, you know, so I did it. I don't have a trust fund or I don't have millions of dollars to pass on, but I do have this gift of prayer that everyone in the family has been under that Our Lady of Angels organization that they're going to be prayed for throughout life and after their death. And now the same with Mont Lejeune, Our Lady of Mont Lejeune, that's in France, the same thing. You can get, you know, you can be prayed for. They do masses while you're alive, and then, you know, they do five masses for the deceased every day. So that's another special organization. The Pious Union, I love the Pious Union. They're the ones where you can send your Gregorian masses to. They're very reputable. They're the ones that you pray for the dying every day, a special prayer to St. Joseph for the dying. And that ensures you have a happy death, which is what? Not to, you know, die in the state of New Jersey or Illinois, but in the state of grace. So they're one of my favorite organizations. I love all three of them.
Very good. And so I'm involved with the Pious Union and Monteglione. The one I didn't know about was Our Lady of Angels the website.
Yes.
So yeah, OurLadyOfAngels.net. And the reason I was interested in that was I spent a whole lot of time back before Ancestry put all the information online. I spent hundreds of hours researching my family tree going back a couple of centuries. And
wow.
And from our conversations in the past, we talked about praying for the dead and praying for our ancestors. And there's a way to get indulgences, and especially in the month of November. And what I started to do was going through that tree one by one. And if I happened to do something that would gain an indulgence, would be to apply it to them. I didn't realize it was a place where I could send the whole tree. So,
I just happened upon it again doing research, and I called them. I always call, and I was amazed. And they send you a certificate, so I got to include, you know, my brothers and sisters, my parents, I think grandparents too, and then your grandchildren. And it was just incredible on both sides of the family. But I had to do it multiple times because there were. You know, there were other family members that have nieces and nephews, so it took me a while, but I made sure everybody was covered. I had certain families I had to use in order to get certain kids in here, but I did it. I did it, and I know that, you know, I know they're covered in prayer during life and will be after death, so that's my gift for them.
Very good. Again, our guest today is Susan Tassone, and we're talking about children's book this time. It's called New Friends, Now and Forever, a story about the Holy Souls, available through EWTN and other online retailers. But as Susan said, and we recommend, you know, suggest you go through EWTN first. I mentioned the things that we can do, and you've talked about them in the past. So in the month of November, it's not just one indulgence. We can do it by visiting cemeteries.
Well, that's from November 1st to the 8th, confession, you know, within 20 days of Mass, communion, the prayers for the intentions of the Pope, and visiting a cemetery. and you can apply, you know, a plenary indulgence to all the souls, a particular soul. You visit a cemetery, of course. Yeah,
right.
Visiting the cemetery with all those other conditions. And that's the first 8 days of November. Yes, take advantage of that. And if it's too cold outside here in Chicago, like it is, we had snow yesterday, you can sit in the car by the cemetery. You don't have to get out.
All right. I know we have to let you go at the bottom of the hour. We've got a couple minutes before we're going to go to the break. Is there anything that we haven't covered yet, Susan, that you want to relay to our listeners?
I just want to say that, you know, there's nothing that's ever been done for this. I think that we have to teach the children. I think that, as you know, the parents are, you know, that's where does it begin, you know, teach our faith? It begins with the parents, and it's up to us to pass on and keep alive these devotions, these customs. We have to form merciful hearts in our children. We have to plant the seed of God and prayer in these hearts. We have to plant the seed of reverence. We have to teach them about All Saints, All Souls. We have to teach them about what they enjoy and how to go about offering up hurts, which is all throughout the book. We have to teach them about the power of prayer and sacrifice, which is in the book. And we have to teach by praying for the souls of our family members and friends, that they become friends forever. So it's really important that this doctrine is being passed on to future generations. And I think everyone should buy it for all the children in their life. There's nothing out there. This is the only book out there. And the success has been overwhelming. It's only been out 4 weeks, and they've sold over 6,000 copies, Ken. And in fact, I was at I was with Archbishop Vigneron in Detroit giving a talk at the Sacred Heart Seminary. He loved the book. He purchased the book for all his religious ed, his teachers, and parishes in the whole Archdiocese of Detroit. So we really need to make sure that we teach this special doctrine to kids, and that we have a book for it. It's not scary. It has the imprimatur. And I just hope everyone will be able to do that. It's great for November. It's great for Christmas. It's great for Easter. It's just it's a breathtaking, vibrant book that you definitely want to have in your Catholic, you know, library.
Very good. And I know, just because, especially like here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, the number of kids that are going to Catholic school today compared to when I was a kid is very low. And, you know, the Catholic education in a lot of cases needs to come from the parents. And so I know that some of our listeners, maybe a large percentage of our listeners, are probably older, and your kids are older. Buy it for, you know, your 20-something, 30-something-year-old kids. I think that they'll get something out of it. And then if they have kids, they can share it with them as well.
It's a beautiful keepsake. It's just, as you said, the illustrations are just breathtaking.
Yeah.
It's just a very upbeat, you know, beautiful story, a fun story, all kinds of things, activities that are happening throughout the book. So I think the whole family will love it. And if you want to hear the story, come on Zoom with Jeanette Bankovic on Friday evening, I think around 6 or 7. You can check her website, and we're going to actually read the story.
Awesome. Again, our guest today has been Susan Tassone. The book we're talking about, New Friends, Now and Forever, a story about the holy souls, and does a great job of explaining purgatory to our young people. Susan, I know you're busy, especially around this time of year. I can't thank you enough for carving out a half hour for us. We appreciate it.
I actually am heading to the Italian Shrine, Mother Cabrini National Shrine here in Chicago, to speak to people after the Mass. And in fact, in that book, Ken, there is a breathtaking relief of the holy souls that came from Mother Cabrini Shrine. I'll pray for everybody at the shrine, it's a very special day for me to go there, because they, you know, that beautiful image, and I love the image because they're in prayer. It's one of my favorite. I mean, I've seen a lot of purgatory, you know, pictures and photos and paintings and sculptures, and this one I think captured it. They are just, they're reverent and they're praying. And it wasn't scary for children, but it was just so breathtaking. So that's in the book. So that's why I'm excited to go over there tonight to kind of show Mother Cabrini, you know, one of her Italian, you know, Gubadis has taken on her shrine and made sure that we acknowledge her too.
Very good. Thank you again, Susan.
We'll
talk again
have
soon.
Have a happy All Saints and All Souls tomorrow.
You do the same. Thank you very much.
Thank you. God bless, Ken. Take care.
You
bye
too.
Bye.
Bye-bye now. So I didn't mention to Susan, you know, one of the places I wanted to get to, I had the opportunity to go to Italy in July, and I wanted to get to the Purgatory Museum, and I went there three different times. Two times the church was closed, and the third time there was a wedding, and I didn't want to be a wedding crasher just to get in through the church to the sacristy to see the museum. But maybe I'll get there one of these days. We've reached the bottom of the hour. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll read the Gospel of today. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
We thank God for our one, holy, Catholic, and Apostolic Church, where Jesus remains present to us until the end of the age, in word and in sacrament. Catholic Radio shares in the ministry of the Church to proclaim the gospel to the ends of the earth. And in his sign, Catholic Radio, has been doing so for over 30 years. Kathleen McCarthy and In His Sign have been empowered by the Holy Spirit to bring the fire of God's healing love to the world through Catholic Radio and the Internet. With God's grace, His word goes out, healing hearts and transforming lives. In His Sign proclaims the culture of life loud and clear in a culture of death. The ministry's mission is to evangelize, catechize, and to be a voice for those who have no voice, proclaiming the truth that will set all people free. To our faithful family and friends who stand with us, thank you for being missionaries with us by supporting In His Sign Catholic Radio. Without your monthly support of prayer and financial giving, our mission would not be able to continue. Our mission voice would be silenced. To our new listeners, please prayerfully consider joining our monthly circle of family and friends by partnering with us financially each month. All donations are completely tax deductible and go directly to our daily expenses, like the purchase of radio airtime and keeping the lights on. Kathleen McCarthy and all of the staff at In His Sign, except Kathleen's administrator, donate all of their time and talent on a volunteer basis at no expense to the ministry. Donations to In His Sign Catholic Radio may be sent to 136 Garrett Avenue, Rosemont, PA 19010, or you can donate securely at inhissign.com. Remember, without your prayers and financial support, our mission voice will be silenced.
And welcome back to What the World Needs Now. This is your host, Ken Johnston. Again, I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners. And thanks for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your financial and prayerful support. We cannot do this without you, and it's only because of your generosity that I'm able to be here each Wednesday. So a personal thank you from me. In this segment, we're joined by Susan Tassone. In the previous segment, she could only spend 30 minutes with us. So I thought I would start off this 30 minutes with the gospel that was heard at Mass today. Again, today is All Saints Day, a holy day of obligation. If you've not gotten to Mass yet, there's still time. There's a great app, Mass Times, that's out there. I use it when I travel a lot, and you can use that. It'll I think it'll detect where your location is, or you can let it detect where your location is, and it'll give you the upcoming masses sorted by the time. So if you've not gotten there yet, there is still time. I know there's a 7 o'clock mass at St. Luke's in Glenside that I may get to. I already made mass earlier today, but may join my wife this evening. Can go mass twice a day ever since Vatican II. People have asked, and you know, you can go to as many masses as you want every day, but we're limited to the number of times that we can receive the Eucharist, to just the two. But anyway, if you've already been to mass, you would have heard the following gospel. It's taken from Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he had sat down, his disciples came to him. He began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord, and praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And as part of our contemplative prayer group that we have down at the ministry, it's every Wednesday. Get started right around 9:30. Goes for an hour, and then we have Mass at 10:30. If you'd like to join us, just get in touch with us and let us know. But what we do is read the Gospel the night before and think about it, meditate about it on our own, and then we get together for this hour, and we'll read it a second time, and we share about any special message or ideas that we got from that reading, and then we read it a third time, where we place ourselves in the scene, and again see what message we may get from it, and then we hear it with Mass right afterwards. We'll hear it for a fourth time, and we have an extended meditation period after we receive communion, and where we can actually try to sit in contemplation and allow the, instead of reading the gospel and meditating on the gospel, we let the gospel work on us. So when we were looking at it this morning, you know, one of the things that hit me was, you know, it says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." It doesn't give us a time frame. And all these Beatitudes, you know, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." Especially, "Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted." Well, I want to be comforted today. I don't want to wait till tomorrow or next week or next month. And, you know, for the, you know, our friends who listen, who are have been involved with active addiction and in recovery, you know, we're always looking for that instant gratification. We want to feel good now. I was in confession last week talking to a priest, and not Father McKay, and you know, we were talking about, you know, some of the things that we will do because we don't want to wait for the joy or the happiness that God's going to give us. So we try to, you know, get it on our own, whether it's things that will amp up our adrenaline, like gambling, whether it's shopping or whatever it is that we do in order to feel good. And so we do this because we're impatient. We want it instantly, and we don't want to wait for God to give it to us. And so as I was thinking about this gospel, and, you know, if you put yourself in the scene and you're there, and it's like, man, you're going to get all these great things. You're going to get the land. We see what's going on now in the Middle East, and, you know, they want the land now. They're not looking for the kingdom that's to come. We're always looking for, you know, if we're in mourning, if we've done things, if we've worked hard, if we've spoken out for God, defended God, you know, we want these things now. And then in the last line there, it says, rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven. Well, doggone it, I don't want to wait till heaven. I want it now. And that's when I think we get ourselves into trouble. You know, we want things and we want them now, and we'll do things spontaneously. And, you know, I can only speak for myself, but how many times do we, you know, do something in the now and only to regret it later? And then we, you know, if I had just waited, you know, if, you know, go out and buy something, if I had just waited till next week or next month, it would have been half the price. Or maybe I didn't really need it after all. If I had just gotten through that moment where I thought I needed it, I could have saved the money or saved the aggravation or you know, whatever. But we're an impatient group. We're an impatient people. And so we go after the now. And, you know, the beauty of what we were talking about with Susan Tassone and our, you know, the friends that we have in purgatory, even they, you know, may have led good lives, and the church suffering, those souls in purgatory who had an opportunity to meet God as part of their judgment, but haven't been able to access heaven yet. And so that's why they're called the church suffering. They know what it's going to be like. They know what it's like to have been in God's presence and then are now denied for some period of time. That's why they suffer. And, you know, we of course, you know, suffer here, especially in this day and age. To be a good Catholic, to live by the church doctrine or dogma, to try to do the right thing day in and day out, is not always easy, especially in a world where, you know, those types of things are frowned upon. And we see the evil and the despicable things that are going on around us. And said it many times, it just seems like the world is upside down. And, you know, the things that were wrong when we grew up are now right. And the things that were right when we grew up are now wrong. And at least according to the minds of the powers that be. And fortunately, we know better. And we know, you know, what was the truth 50 years ago, 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago, and 4,000 years ago is still the truth today, especially for the last 2,000 years anyway. And Jesus Christ let us know he is the way, the truth, and the life. And when we subscribe to that, when we believe that, when we internalize that, when we admit that that God is, or that Jesus Christ is God, and that he is our Lord and Savior, that it helps us to overcome the craziness that's going on around us. It helps us to take a step back and let the crazies be crazy, and we'll take care of what we can take care of. We'll try to control what we actually have control of, which is, as we're finding out, very little. But we know that the best is yet to come. You know, we had Father Celso here last week talking about, you know, how glorious the times are that we're living in right now. And if you look around, you say, how can anybody say that? And it's because of what's coming. Some people believe coming sooner rather than later. I was talking to Kathleen before the 4 o'clock show and talking about the gift of prophecy, and that's not one that I think I have. And I don't ever try to predict the future, but we do know that in the future that we're all going to have an opportunity to get to heaven, and our goal should be to get there. The two feast days that we celebrate today and tomorrow, the Feast of All Saints Day and the Feast of All Souls, you know, it can't be laid out any better. Today we celebrate those who are members of the Church Triumphant, those that led lives worthy of heaven, even if they had smudges and a little bit of dirt here and there that need to be cleaned up in purgatory, they have made it to heaven. And on All Saints Day, of course, we celebrate those that we believe, because of the lives that they led and perhaps the miracles that have that have happened in their names, that they are indeed in heaven today and with our God. And for those souls that are in purgatory, we will remember them tomorrow. And, you know, Susan has done a great job over the years in coming on and talking about the holy souls and, you know, the friends that we can make there. Because if it's your prayers that aid a soul to move from purgatory to heaven, you've got a soul for all, or a friend rather, for all of eternity. And we may not always know those souls and who they are. One of the things that was sent to me when my mother passed away a little over a year ago, a person sent me a mass card from my mother, and included in there was the St. Gertrude prayer. And I have the prayer card. I actually wrote out the prayer in my missal right before the communion prayers. And, you know, it's one of those prayers that when I saw it, when I first came back to the faith, and I saw this thing on there where, you know, pray this prayer and 1,000 souls get released from purgatory to heaven. You know, I'd be on the phone with my mother-in-law and look what I found, Joan. Look what I found, Joan. I found another one of these indulgence prayers, and I can, you know, I'll do this, and this is going to happen. And I was listening to a great video on YouTube yesterday on the Precious Blood by Father Chris Allar, and he mentioned the St. Gertrude prayer and the idea that 1,000 souls get released from purgatory to heaven. And, you know, I had already known this, but he's saying, you know, don't hold anybody to that 1,000 number. That just means a lot. You know, 1,000 means a lot. So it's going to be more than a handful. Whether it's 1,000 or not, we don't know. But I think the more important thing is that we pray the prayer and help our friends or our brothers and sisters who are members of the church suffering to make their way into heaven. And the prayer and the reason I was looking at the video and what have you, I was asked to give a talk on the Precious Blood at a retreat this weekend out at Malvern. And the prayer includes the Precious Blood, and it goes like this. Eternal Father, I offer you the most precious blood of your divine Son, Jesus, in union with the masses said throughout the world today, for all the holy souls in purgatory, for sinners everywhere, for sinners in the universal church, those in my own home, and within my family, amen. And so, you know, the prayer was attributed to St. Gertrude, and I think it's up through the first half of it, throughout the world today for all the holy souls in purgatory. And I think it was sometime later, perhaps, that the balance of it was added where we can pray for sinners everywhere, those in the universal church, those in my own home, and especially within my family. And that's not just when we say within my family, it's just not the living members of my family, but this prayer, of course, can be offered, you know, for all our deceased family members as well. And like I said, I didn't know a whole lot about purgatory and our interaction with the souls and you know, what actually went on before I first had Susan on the radio, Susan Tassone, probably 6 or 7 years ago, and she comes back every year, and we talk a little bit more. Today she brought with her new information, not only about the children's book that she's written, but OurLadyOfAngels.net, which I think I'll be spending a little bit of time tomorrow. It sounds like you can go out there and input your family tree. I know in my database and the application that I use, I think in my tree I have over 3,000 people now. I don't think they're going to let me put 3,000 in there, but we'll see how many I can fit in. And when I first started doing the family history research, it was interesting because my father was born of Irish immigrants. My grandmother and grandfather had both come from Ireland in the 1920s, and they met here, and I never got to meet them. My father was orphaned, I think, by the time he was 13 or so, 14 maybe. And so I had never gotten to meet them. And in the mid-90s, I came to learn that my grandfather was one of 17 kids. And up until that point, my father and even my aunt, they didn't talk a whole lot about their family. And I, you know, part of it was obvious. It was because of the, you know, the troubles and what have you that they had after their parents died. But they had never mentioned the size of the family. We knew about an uncle that was here and an aunt, but apparently my grandfather had 14 or 15 other kids or siblings that had either remained in Ireland or gone to Australia but hadn't come to the States. And so that piqued my interest. And I didn't know a whole lot about family history then or genealogy. And a letter that was sent to my father from one of his cousins had the beginning of a family tree on it. And when I saw it, I thought it was pretty cool. It had in there, you know, little extraneous information, you know, what they had done, that my, I think it was my third great grandfather had invented what's known as the bag net. He was a salmon fisherman in Scotland, and he invented a particular kind of net that they used in salmon fishing, and then he would make them and ended up over in Ireland, I think, probably trying to sell them to the Irish salmon fishermen there. But I was intrigued just by the number of people, and I happened to be working at Jefferson Hospital in town in their IT department, and I came to find that the National Archives was a block and a half away at 9th and Chestnut, the post office there. And so those that have gotten involved in family history or genealogy, if you've gotten into it recently, it's so much easier today than it was back then. You can probably put together a tree of 100 people in no time, in a couple of hours. It'll cost you a little bit with Ancestry, but they have all the information online. And back in those days, in the 90s, I would, on my lunch hour, literally every day, I would be over there going through microfilm, looking at the old census records and looking at naturalization records and those types of things. And so I put together this huge database. My father and I ended up going to Ireland. And all that to say was, when I was putting it together, it was more out of curiosity as to, you know, who all these family members were. I learned a whole lot about family, some of which I probably didn't want to learn. But you learn that, you know, every family's got skeletons in their closet. And those that do genealogy, you know, the thing is, if you got a skeleton in your closet, you might as well make it dance. And so we, you know, you uncover some of these things that went on, and then maybe future show I can talk about some of them. But where I'm going with this is that I had no idea at the time that I was doing it that tree would play a significant role in my spiritual life today. And it's because of people like Susan Tassone and talking about the souls in purgatory and knowing that I'm sure a number of those people that are in my tree maybe still be in purgatory. And we had a guest earlier this year, the very beginning of this year, I think, Father Tom Morrow. And Father McKay knew him. They were at the seminary at the same time, but Father Morrow had studied for the Diocese of Washington, D.C. And he wrote a book called Straight to Heaven. And when he was on, you know, we talked about, you know, purgatory is not mandatory. It's optional. If we can work out our heaven here, if we can try to eliminate the character defects and prejudices and all those things that, you know, put a smudge on our character, you know, we don't have to go to purgatory. It is optional. And like I say to my good friend Paul, you know, we kind of joke and laugh about shooting for purgatory. And now it's like, you know, I tell people, you got to shoot for heaven, because if you miss, at least you have purgatory to fall back on. If you aim for purgatory and miss, well, that's not an experience I want to take part in. But one of the things that Father Morrow had mentioned was the four ways to get a plenary indulgence every day. And I was unaware of it up until then. And Susan Tassone talked about the indulgence that you can get the first 8 days in November using the normal things that are required for the indulgence and then visiting a cemetery. Those normal things being confession within 21 days, receive Holy Communion, no attachment to sin, and to pray for the Holy Father's intentions. November 1st to the 8th. If you visit, do those things and then go to the cemetery, make a visit to the cemetery, you can gain an indulgence and apply it to your loved ones in that cemetery. But the other one, the other four that Father Morrow mentioned was that if we pray the rosary with a group of people, we in church, we also obtain that indulgence. If we pray the Stations of the Cross with a group or alone, we can gain that indulgence. If we read Scripture for 30 minutes, we get the indulgence. And if we make a holy hour, we can get that indulgence. And I have my missal in front of me because I used it to read today's gospel. And in it, I've been keeping track in the back of the different family members in my family tree, started with my mother and then my grandparents and then my great-grandparents. And now I'm going through the list of my great-great-grandparents. And, you know, if I have an opportunity I usually have that opportunity at least 3 or 4 days a week to make that, to get that plenary indulgence, so I can apply it to them. And what we learned today and what I wasn't 100% certain of is what happens if we try to give that indulgence to somebody that's already been able to move from purgatory to heaven. And like she said, the good news is that they gain greater intercessory power before our Lord. And that, you know, their prayer life is greatly enhanced. So that would be their intercession for us. So it's good to know that no prayer is ever wasted in our church, whether it's praying for the living, praying for the dead, praying for each other. And that's what gets us through. You know, sometimes the chips are down. Again, going back to today's gospel, when you read about the circumstances that Jesus is talking about, you know, those that are poor in spirit, those that are broken, those that are mourning, that have lost loved ones, you know, the ones that are meek, the ones that are merciful. You can't be merciful unless somebody's done something to deserve your mercy, which means you've been hurt in one way or another and been able to give them that mercy, to give that forgiveness. So Jesus recognizes the brokenness, the woundedness of our humanity, and gives us the tools to get through it, and reminds us that when these things happen, especially if they happen because we're followers of Him, that our reward will be great. Now, doesn't, like I said at the outset of the segment, it doesn't mean that our reward's going to come tonight or tomorrow, even next week or even next month, but will absolutely come when we spend eternity with Him. In the meantime, we take the blessings when we can get them, and a lot of times that those blessings are, you know, come in forms that we don't expect them, and perhaps not the way we want, but they will come. It can be something as simple as a change in perception or in the way that we see a particular circumstance, the way we see a particular individual in our life, you know, whatever it might be, that just brings us a little bit of relief, a little bit of comfort, especially in the trying times that we're experiencing today. So, again, today we celebrate that holy day of obligation, All Saints Day. Hopefully there are some saints that have played an integral role in your life. One of the things that we often see in the 4 o'clock hour when we talk about the saints in the liturgical calendar, oftentimes these saints hung out with other saints. You think about St. Teresa of Avila and St. John of the Cross. You think about St. Scholastica and now I forget her brother's name off the top of my head. But these, saints help to make other saints. And, you know, the beauty of having like-minded people in my life where we can talk about these things and help each other to get through this life, especially with spiritual resolve and through spiritual mechanisms that we'll have an opportunity to spend all of eternity together and look back on these times as the gifts that they were, especially when we can't look at them as gifts right now in the immediate. So once again, on this Wednesday afternoon, it's been my pleasure to be with you for these 2 hours. I look forward to being with you again next week. It'll be November 8th. So we'll be wrapping up those 8 days where it's possible to get that indulgence between now and then. See how many you get and call me next week and let us know. In the meantime, I pray that God will hold you in the palm of his hand until we're together again. Take care and God bless.